This is File 53, Cycle 3. This is Jean McMillan. I am interviewing Bruce Montgomery, who's going to talk about the TLC. And today's date is October 25th, 2018. But first, we'll start with the hard stuff. What is your name?
Bruce Montgomery.
And it's spelled how?
Well, B-R-U-C-E, and then M-O-N-T-G-O-M-E-R-I-E.
And how did you come to this area?
Serendipitously, in the beginning, a friend of mine had rented a summer cottage here, so I drove up one weekend to spend a short weekend with them, and it was right on Lake the Lake, and I came to enjoy the area. So I came back a couple of times, just kind of touring around, and then stayed one weekend at what was then called big white thing.
The Gateway?
No.
White Hart?
No. The other one. I've already forgotten it. And it's on the Sharon Road as you're going toward Sharon, up on the left. It used to be an old school, I think. Anyway, long story short, I bought property up here in 85 from the Camp Sloan organization. And the house that was on there was a small summer cottage that had been winterized a little bit over the years, and it's on the head of Long Pond, off Route 112. Hold on, you can't see the house from 112. So I worked many years in the city, and then at one point I just got tired of putting in outrageous hours, and decided to hang it up. So I came up here in 2003 and brought my kids, who were young at the time, and put them in Town Hill School, now the lower school of Indian Mountain, and my daughter in Indian Mountain, and so we went from there.
Did your daughter attend Indian Mountain?
Yes, she did.
Then she knows about the Macmillan Prize. The Macmillan Prize is given for community service, and the Macmillan Prize was named in honor of my husband because he taught there for 5 years for no salary.
You know, I remember hearing the name now that you say it, but I wouldn't have...
Well, nobody would connect it unless...
But, she's still working in college. She's going to finish here in about a year. She had a little bit of a rough go in college. My son went to UConn as a pitcher and was drafted in his junior year by the Dodgers.
Good.
And has a year under his belt now as a minor league player.
Mm-hmm. He's not doing the World Series then.
Oh, no. He's not. You know, maybe in a few years. We'll see.
Yeah,
I mean, you have to knock on wood because the baseball system is far larger and more complex than I think most fans
realize.
Every professional baseball team has
several
minor league teams in their system all around the country, and they employ all those baseball players, and they employ all the staff that goes along with the baseball team, the managers and trainers and all this kind of stuff, various coaches and things. So it's a very large...
It's a large operation.
It is, and the number of young men playing professional baseball is much larger than anybody, I think, would really think about, because they think about, you know, the major league teams, and of course there are several just on the major league teams.
Sure.
But each major league team, of course, has all these minor league players. Anyway, long story short, just because you're in the minor leagues doesn't mean you're going to be in the big leagues.
Well, we hope for it.
You hope you earn your way and prove your way, and
hope that your pitching arm doesn't run out.
Exactly.
Alrighty.
So, anyway.
Now, how about the TLC? How did you learn about that?
I actually don't recall whether I saw something in the paper or heard about it. Perhaps it was in the paper, the Lakeville Journal. Now, this would be some years ago now. And you can learn about TLC just by going to their website.
It's an excellent website, by the way.
Yes, I think so.
Yes, it is.
It's not complicated, but it's all the information you need is right there, and it's easily accessible. So you go to TaconicLearningCenter.org, and it's all right there. And we offer courses in a fall semester, a winter term, and then a spring term. The winter term is typically shorter. Starts in January and finishes end of February, early March, and then there's a bit of a break, and then it starts up again. Late April, early May, and runs until more or less the end of May or first week or so in June. And so there's no magic to the calendar. It's a function of who's teaching, what courses, how many sessions in each course that an instructor wishes to offer, and so forth.
It's pretty fluid then, isn't it?
It is. Well, within certain
parameters,
parameters, it is. I mean, it starts with the fact that our instructors teaching what they want because they want. And to some extent, their own schedules govern when they're available for teaching and so forth. But in general, there are anywhere from, we've had a couple in the past, only two sessions, but mostly 4 to 8 sessions. I don't think we've had many longer than 8 sessions.
That's about it.
I think we might have had a 10-session one some years back now, but typically they're in the 5 to 8 session range, or even 4. And it's all just driven by what the instructor has in mind and is willing to do. We've been extraordinarily fortunate in having really very good, dedicated instructors. Bear in mind, these folks don't get paid.
Oh, I know.
They do this because they're teaching something
that they like.
They really like. They're very interested. They like the teaching process. And I think they enjoy sharing their knowledge with their class. So, and it's totally catch-as-catch-can. I mean, it's not like we have a deep roster of teachers waiting, you know, 4 deep in line to teach course XYZ. Every semester is made up kind of as we go, so that, for instance, now, as we speak, we're trying to put together the winter term, which would start, as I said, after the first week of January or so. And people just come out of the woodwork and say, I'd like to teach a course.
You don't recruit then, really?
Well, we do and we don't. I mean, we don't make a concerted effort to recruit, but if we hear about someone who might be interested, who has a unique interest in a particular field, or perhaps who's taught elsewhere, because you know, we're not the only place to hear. You have people giving in courses, or maybe just one session in libraries around the communities. For organizations like the Salisbury Historical Association, occasionally we'll put on a talk and so on. We learn about the teachers and we might approach them, asking whether they'd be interested. Most often they come to us because, first of all, we're very fortunate, knock on wood, that we have a kind of a stable of teachers who are now well into their 8th, 10th, 12th, 14th course, so that we have a number of our instructors who have had many courses that they've taught with us.
On your website, you've got a list of maybe 10 to 12 people that have taught many courses.
Lots of courses.
And that's a very nice thing to do, to give them credit for their years of dedicated service. Not too many people do that, and it's really very nice to see.
Well, I think it's only right. And, you know, all our instructors put a lot into their courses. So it's not like they just stand in front of you for 2 hours and run the lips, turn the motor on, and just run the lips.
Oh, no. I've been to too many of them.
A lot of preparation goes into each class and each
presentation.
Presentation. Mm-hmm. And we have some instructors who will say they spend anywhere from 4 to 14, 15 hours to do one class, one day's worth of classes. That's a 2-hour session typically, or it's allowing.
But you have to.
If you're going to know what you're talking about, and you want to offer some real analysis, some real depth of information, you have to do that. There's nobody on the planet that is really so competent. Well, there may be a few, but so competent that they can just give you a thoroughly organized, well annotated, complete discussion for 2 hours on somewhat arcane subjects. There's just not very many of those people on the planet. So we have instructors who will tell you the opposite. We have a fellow who was a thoracic surgeon in the area for a number of years. And so he has a significant medical background, but he was a surgeon. He did not do microbiology and new fancy stuff. But what he will do is study up and really learn the field, and from his work, then he puts together a course for people, and it's a really wonderful way to learn about microbiology or whatever it is.
And he
always says, I pick topics that I know nothing about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And why does he do that? Well, it's his way of learning and his way of having
Educational curiosity.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. And I think most of our instructors kind of are of that philosophy, whether they articulate it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a fellow who was the CFO of a major oil company before he retired. And he knows a lot about business, a lot about commercial transactions, a lot about economics. And so for many years he taught courses in the economic field for TLC, but they were not, you know, the kind of stuff he did for a living every day.
It was a different branch.
He would learn a whole other area and then help us understand it. So we have a guy who's a retired IBM person. I don't understand computers much myself at all, and I certainly don't understand what he did for IBM. But he was a technical person. He still is very competent with computers and all that stuff. But he teaches us the industrial history of the Salisbury-Canyon area.
I've taken some courses with him. He's excellent.
Dick Paddock.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic guy. And he knows this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has, a genuine interest in the subject matter.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not like he's force-feeding himself so that he can teach us. He loves this stuff. He's good at it. He's very good at presenting things. And so he's turned his personal interest in this field into a course. And he shares his knowledge with the rest of us. So that's kind of illustrative of the types of instructors we have. We have had another guy who was an investment banker and gave a course on the Federal Reserve. Quite informative. A real eye-opener, in point of fact. We had another fellow who was a professor at Columbia Medical School. Columbia Presbyterian in New York City. And so he taught something fairly close to his professional teaching, which was microbiology stuff. And boy, was that fascinating. I mean, I will tell you, I only got maybe half of it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell you a thing about it now.
But it was fascinating.
It was interesting at the time. And when you're in the room with him, you follow it. He keeps it simple and explains everything very well. It just was way over my head, and it's not the kind of thing I'm going to hang on to, but it was fascinating to hear it and learn a little bit about it. So we've been very fortunate to have really good instructors. And, you know, as we say, we do seek them out on occasion, sometimes because we learn of their interest in areas, sometimes because our other instructors are taking some time off, so we have an opening and we need instructors for a particular term. So far we have just been really
very lucky to have.
To have such a wonderful collection of people who share their knowledge.
And it's been going for 25 years?
I think longer than that.
Mm-hmm. Started in 89?
You know,
I think.
Yeah, if you've read that and got that from the website,
yeah,
I
took notes from the website, and it did start, actually started in the Methodist Church, but it was offered in 1989.
89, okay.
Three times a week, 3 hours each. And the donation at that time was $50, and it's now up to $60. So inflation.
Well, the $60 donation for TLC is tax deductible,
mm-hmm.
because it's not a fee; it's a donation. That money is used to defray our costs, which are mailing costs, printing costs. We pay a little something to the two places that we have our classes, Gear and
You're a Gear and Noble now.
Yeah, we used to be here in the library for a few classes, and then of course with the renovation of that lower.
It's not conducive now.
No, you just don't have the space for our situation. But the Sarah Wardell room before was renovated.
It was big enough. I took some courses there too.
But you know we run a pretty tight budget. We don't spend much money. We spend it on, as I say, postage and printing, and a little bit on advertising, and our venue costs, which is sort of a gesture, really. It's thank goodness for Noble and Gear. They treat us pretty darn well.
And they're nice facilities.
Yeah, they are. And they're convenient.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we have people from those facilities who come to class.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, they're situated in the area well so that you can draw from the surrounding area. And people don't have to go miles and miles to get.
And they're always plowed out in the wintertime.
And they are. And,
a difference.
The only time we cancel courses is when the Region
1
schools are closed. And generally, they don't close except when it's really kind of nasty out.
If you knew the area that those buses had to travel over, you'd close school, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, we have a lot of narrow back roads in this area.
And steep ones.
And steep ones. And, when you've had a heavy snowstorm, particularly one that starts outside of warm and then gets colder, where you have ice and stuff on the roads, it can be
difficult.
Pretty dangerous, actually.
Yeah, I have come down Lincoln City Road sideways on a number of occasions.
Yeah, exactly. So, even going down, what is it, Smith Hill?
Oh, yeah, that's fun, too.
And Cayman, I mean,
That's
a, it reminds me, we used to have matchbox derby things when I was a 10-year-old and so on. We had a hill in town. That Smith Hill would have been the hill for matchbox derby. Boy, you could really go ripping down that.
Oh, sure.
But in a car, it's a little scary if you slip.
Yeah, it is.
So
it is.
You have to, be conscious. And look, I mean, we have older folks typically as our members who join as our classmates. And the reality is you don't want people driving in bad condition. So when we're closed, we're closed.
That's everybody accepts that.
I think
everybody accepts that.
And many of the teachers will adjust their schedules to somehow make that class up. If we had them, say, close on a Tuesday morning and so you miss whatever the class is that morning, they will either extend the time, so they'll do one more class later at the end of their normal session, or they'll fit it in somehow during the week. So they're pretty good about trying to give everybody kind of what they signed up for.
Yeah. You what kind of an area do you get your people from?
It's kind of broader than you might think. We do have some people from Amenia. We have some people from Torrington. We have some people from, we have a number of folks come from Canaan, Norfolk.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we have any from Winston, but at least none that come to mind. Oddly, we don't get very many from Millerton, which is, a stone's throw as compared to some of these places.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get much from Kent, for example.
It's a
pretty long haul, and when you start heading south and east, the communities there are small and they're farther away and just tougher driving and so on. So I would say on average our kind of dense area would be maybe a 15-mile radius or even 10. But many of our folks, of course, come from Lakeville, Salisbury, or Norfolk.
About how many people in general participate total?
It's really hard to say because it changes a lot from semester to semester or even year to year.
I think your website averaged around 200 to 250-ish.
I think that's about right. And then, of course, those who take classes varies a lot, too. It depends on the time of year. Some people just don't like to go out in January. They just, you know, it's cold and snowy, as you just said. and so they don't come out. Others are not so bothered by the winter.
It's individual differences.
Of course. And that's the nice thing about TLC. We ask that you join as a member, make your donation. But the reality is, if you can't afford it or you just don't feel comfortable making that donation, you can still come.
Yeah.
We hope you do.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to have the cash, of course, because it helps pay the bills to keep the organization running. But there's nobody taking tickets at the door and, you know, are you stamped with your admission pass or something? No. So that, and because it's basically totally a volunteer organization, our hope is that, you know, people come because they want to be there. They enjoy being
there.
It's a good way to socialize. You meet people. You get to say hi to people. You become, over a period of time, you become casual friends or even really good friends.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that socialization aspect, which is...
which is good for single people that are in the area.
Of course. Or not single people. I mean, it's just good to meet people.
Yeah.
You know, at our age, I'll say...
yeah.
You don't get around and socialize lots.
No, it's a convenient way to do it. It's during the daytime, so people like myself that don't like to drive at night don't have to worry about that.
Exactly.
And it's a very educationally stimulating.
Well, it's fun, it's interesting, you're learning something, and it's very safe, it's comfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's a safe area in the world, it's here, and it's during the day in our class.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The reality is there's no real risk except maybe driving, which is akin to the kind of risk you have anywhere. But I think, and our instructors are all really nice people. They're intelligent people. Our classmates, our members who come to class, are the same.
Yeah.
People are coming because they want that intellectual stimulation. They want to learn a new area, more about what they think they know, but they know they want to learn more. And it's really a wonderful organization.
I've always been impressed when I have attended several TLC courses, how much experience and knowledge other people have.
Well, you know, that is correct, and it's an observation that I have come to kind of slowly as you see the people around you and you learn what kind of backgrounds they have and so on. This area, and by that I mean kind of the northwest corner, broadly speaking, is just blessed with a high quality of individual. People who have had lots of education in their lives, who did interesting things in their professional careers, who are decent, good, hardworking, honest,
people.
Pleasant people. So we are...
we're fortunate.
Very fortunate.
We are extremely fortunate. When did you go on the board of TLC?
My memory for dates is not so
good. That's all right.
I would say 3 years ago or possibly four, but I think three.
So it would be about 2015.
Yeah, I would. And I could check that, but
that's ballpark to your sign. Were you just a board member, or were you asked to take a position?
Well, everybody who joins the board is first a board member, and then our board members are drafted or assigned, or they volunteer for some committee work, and the committees really are kind of the basic things for running the organization. There's advertising, there's the nominations committee, which is the group that puts forth candidates for other officers and so on. We have a guy, really, one fellow who's our program chairman, Larry Rand, who has been...
And that's Larry Rand that does that?
Larry Rand. He's been doing it for a number of years. I actually don't know how long, but it's quite a while. And he's a former Kent School instructor, teacher. So he's been in this general business, and he knows this stuff, and he knows lots of people in the area still who are instructors of one kind or another, so he's pretty good at drawing some of these folks in. And we have another fellow who's our head of financial thing, our treasurer, who keeps the books and pays the bills. And he also does the website, that Harding Bancroft.
Mm-hmm.
We have a vice president, Deanie Simonson, who happens now, she didn't always, but she has for the last few years lived at GEER. So she not only sort of picks up the pieces that I miss, but she is there on site at GEER and can act as liaison between TLC and GEER, which has to do with, you know, setting the calendar, making sure rooms are reserved, and so
making
on.
Sure the cookies show up.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Believe, that is so important.
Yes.
Trust me.
Yes.
If we don't have cookies and coffee on time, somebody's going to have their nose out of joint.
When I first started, there was a sign-up sheet for cookies.
Oh, yes.
And I'm a cookie baker, so I got suckered into baking cookies for TLC, which was fine.
It's fun. And you know, we've always had good cookies. I don't have any clue how that happens, but it does. And,
yeah.
And somebody's doing a wonderful job.
They surely are. But it's very important to have that break about 1 hour into the course, and you have a cup of coffee and a cookie and chat with people that you don't know. And as you say, it's very comfortable, and it's a very intellectually stimulating environment, as much as you choose it to be.
Absolutely. And the nice thing is, it's not just friendly, but it's also safe. I mean, people are there, and they don't have a personal agenda. It's not like going to a cocktail party down in New York City where you feel like everybody's got some agenda that they're working some angle this way or that way. I can't stand those things.
Neither can I.
I haven't been in years, but the point is, you come to TLC, and all you have are people who are interested in the course and just pleasant, interesting people.
Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of it.
It really is.
That you don't have tests and you don't have grades.
Yeah, and if you have a dentist appointment when you might otherwise have a class, you go to your dentist appointment.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to give you a black mark for missing class.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to, as you say, give you a test.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at our age...
We've been tested out pretty well.
And, you know, what's the point? I mean, the reality is you're coming to learn, and I think most people enjoy the learning process.
And my husband used to preach intellectual curiosity, never stop learning. And he didn't, when you get bored, you go down and you read the volume of the encyclopedia. He really was very intellectually curious, and fortunately I had a little bit of that too. And if he'd been alive today, he would have been taking TLC courses. He probably would have been teaching TL courses.
He'd probably be teaching.
He would. He was a good teacher. He enjoyed learning, and he made it fun. And your professors or teachers make learning enjoyable, and that's the purpose of it.
Oh, yeah.
Very definitely.
Actually, as I once said to one of our fellow board members, I said, you know, if you're thinking about moving here, you should move here because of TLC.
It's a good advertisement for the area.
You know, I mean, obviously a young mother with a 5-year-old kid is not going to come
That's different.
To our class.
That's different.
But if you're at the age when you have some time and some freedom of time, it's perfect. It really is perfect.
Well, it's the same sort of thing as when I was doing interviews on the Salisbury Forum. That attracts a lot of people in the area. A lot of people. Different backgrounds, different locations. But it's, again, it's intellectually stimulating. It's talking about an area that somebody is an expert in. And it's a great area to be in. It truly is. So I hope we have more people that come to the area.
I do too. I mean, it's a lot of it is serendipitous.
Yep.
You know, we don't make an effort to recruit people. Hey, move to Lakeville or move to Salisbury. But there's none of that. But
there's a lot
but
here.
But it happens naturally, or thank God it has.
Oh yeah.
And I think it's an unstated. You don't hear much about TLC in the community generally. And the brokers and so on in real estate, they don't push TLC as part of their sales pitch. But if they had an older person, they should. They really should, mm-hmm. because they would mm-hmm. be doing their customers a great service.
What do you do for outreach, speaking of that?
Not that much, truth be told. We have tried. We don't know what works and what doesn't is the honest answer.
Mm-hmm.
We put write-ups, class descriptions, advertisements in the Lakeville Journal.
Yeah.
And
we've got a website.
We have a website. We have Tom Grunewald, who's one of our board members and a frequent teacher, and Larry Rand, who you already know from my prior mention, have just recently, in the last 3 or 4 months, taken to having an audio segment on Robin Hood Radio, where they give a little summary of Precy, if you will, of mm-hmm. the semester coming up.
Yep.
And that, I mean, I've listened to them, and they're really effective. The only problem is you don't know who's listening.
At the time,
And they are recorded, so they are rerun with some frequency. It's not like if you're not there for that 10-minute segment, it's forever gone.
Yeah.
But that's as I listen to it, I think this is really effective, because if I were just listening to the radio and heard these guys, I would say, hey, that's
kind of,
I want to check that out. So we have that, and we have printed brochures, a little flyer kind mm-hmm. of thing, it folds.
Yeah.
And Lynn Westsmith and I, then being on the advertising committee for a couple of years running, took them to various places in the area, banks and libraries, and any place you think people are going to be visiting and with time to pick something up and read it. Deposited, I don't know, 500 of these things all around. And we went all the way down to Camden, all the way up to Sheffield. And then,
how many people are on your board?
You asked me that last time, and I never checked, so I don't really know.
But you 10, you 8 10, to 10, yeah.
10, yeah. 10 roughly, I think.
Who's your secretary?
Sarah Polimas is our secretary.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And she's extraordinarily diligent. Our minutes are always thorough and on time, prepared timely, so that there's nothing worse than getting a minute for a business meeting that is 2 or 3 months past the meeting date.
I know.
Who the hell knows what?
I know.
You can't, it's useless. Nobody can say, oh, well, you forgot this or that. Uh-huh. They've all forgotten everything.
I know.
Oh, so if you get
and as we get older, we forget more and more, don't we?
So what happens is she gets the minutes out pretty promptly after every meeting. And they're always really good. And, the organization really kind of just functions. It mm-hmm. just works.
Well, you've got people who know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing, and they're interested to do it. You don't have to prod people. We're just really lucky.
How often do you meet?
The annual meeting is in June.
Mm-hmm.
And then we meet in September, November. Sometimes in early January, sometimes not. It kind of depends on how things are going.
Yeah.
And then again in, April. Or May, early May.
And
that's it.
What is your term of office?
A year from June to June.
Do you get any feedback from the annual meeting?
Some. People will come up with ideas that they'll put forth. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're pretty useful, and we will follow up and try to implement them. Other times they're just kind of strange or not particularly useful.
Yeah.
But, for instance, somebody said, can't you figure out a way, this is a few years back now, can't you figure out a way for us to pay our donation, make our donation easier? Because it used to be, going back some time, you would get a request from TLC, you know, and they, so you'd make your donation on a slip, and you'd have to write a check, and you have to mail it in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this day and age, that's kind of cumbersome for many people. So, Harding Bancroft figured out, well, you can buy stuff from Amazon without ever writing a check, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we could do something similar. And he fiddled around with the website and did whatever he has to do with the credit card companies. And so now...
You can do it by
the
website.
You can do it on the website. And it takes all of maybe a minute and a half, and you're done. And it's very easy. we are thinking... This is only kind of a testing point at this point. We're thinking of offering a Saturday class, which all of our classes in recent years have always been some point Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But we are thinking of trying a class on Saturday for the reason that we're getting the impression, and we don't know if this is a strong thing or just a few people, but that some people can't quite manage the week day thing because of other obligations or jobs or whatever. But if they could come on Saturday morning at say 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, they might like that. So we're thinking of giving a course, maybe two, on Saturday. So we'll see. I mean, you know, that may be, that's probably shifting to a different population.
Yeah, different age level too.
And a different age level because... Yeah. What you're basically saying when you have class on Saturday is, well, if you're
a worker
yeah. Monday through Friday, maybe you'd like to come. And we'd certainly like to have those people. We don't know how many in that age group are really interested in TLC, because the reality is TLC is not limited in any way. It's not targeted, but the things in the real world tell you that most of your members are going to be retired people because
the nature of what you're offering.
Yeah,
and the time.
It's during the week in the normal middle of the day kind of time frame.
Yeah.
And so unless you're retired or you are a part-time worker perhaps, and we don't have many part-time workers.
Not out here.
Not at TLC anyway. I don't know of any. I can't say I know this. It's true for all, but I don't know of any part-time workers that are taking classes now. Maybe there are, I suppose.
Could
I don't know.
Did you ever teach a course?
Yes, I have. I've taught courses individually. I taught one. And then last spring, three other fellows and myself taught a course on inequality. Partly because I started to think about, you know, Bernie Sanders during the 2016 campaign had a big pitch on inequality. And it's almost as if it's an evil in society that has to be addressed somehow. So I started thinking about it, and I spoke to these other fellows over a lunch at one point a year. So what do you guys think about this whole inequality thing? Do you think, well, if Bernie Sanders makes any sense? I mean, I'm not pretending that there isn't an unequal array of almost everything you can think of in the real world. But what he's saying, does it make sense? So we decided that we have Dick Paddock, who kind of an industrial and opportunity thing, and we have the doctor on the medical side.
And who was the doctor?
Lynn Welchel. And then we had Jerry Jammin, who's the economic guy.
And Jerry who?
Jerry Jammin, J-A-M-I-N.
Yeah, I get that
and,
in the website.
And so anyway, over lunch we decided that the four of us would offer a course on inequality. four sessions, different aspects of inequality, which we did last spring. Mm-hmm. And the idea was, this is not a political discourse. We don't want to hear about political points of view or political agendas. We want to try to have an analytical study of understanding what is equality, what causes it, how is it manifested, what could be done if you want to address inequality. Are there some inequalities that simply can't be addressed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have this funny concept in our governing documents that all men are created equal.
They're not.
Well, that's a wonderful thing in a sense.
But
in another sense, it's so far from the truth.
Everybody has different gifts.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is why you teach to individual differences, because
absolutely.
We learn in different ways, we have different
and
gifts.
It starts with that basic fact. We have this governing document that says all men are created equal. Well, in some broad philosophical religious sense, maybe so, in the sense that they're all entitled to respect and
mm-hmm.
fair treatment, but they're not all equal by any measure. Not by any measure. Physical, look at the pro football players. Created equal? No. They're enormous, right? And they have physical attributes that most people in society don't even approach. And the same is true for lots of other things. Musicians, are they created equal? No, they really have a musical talent that the rest of us just don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Doctors, they can understand stuff that the rest of us just can't manage.
And then there are lawyers.
Some are good and some are not so good. But, you know, and you can go through every position in life.
Sure.
There are great teachers and then there are teachers that are, not so good. And we talk about income in our wealth measure. There's all the way from negative money to all the money you could hope for.
Yeah.
And so there's nothing equal about that.
No.
Now, so what we were trying to do is figure out why are some of these things there in certain areas. And when you talk about Bernie Sanders, you're really talking about money, politics, and
mm-hmm.
money.
But that wasn't what your focus was.
Well, certainly not entirely, no. Because what we were trying to figure out is what causes inequality.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, you know, young kids go to kindergarten, they go through the same elementary school, they have the same educational opportunities, and 25 years later, they're really in quite different positions in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? Well, they had good teaching, probably even through high school, the same teaching.
But they take different things away.
Yes.
I have met, I'm going to say, 50 of my former pupils, and not any of them remembered the same thing.
Exactly.
50 different things. And I was teaching the same curriculum.
Same thing to all.
But they all take different things away.
Absolutely. And so the differences start with the biological reality that not all people are created equal. In fact, nobody's created equal to somebody else. Even identical twins have some differences.
No, they're different.
So you start with this political belief
mm-hmm.
or faith, principle of faith, all men are created equal. And then you get down to the reality that really nobody's created equal with anybody else. And so they come to their position in life for not only what they were born with, but how they used that themselves.
Yeah.
How did they apply themselves? Did they decide they were going to work really hard or just play video games all day? Did they decide they were going to do good things or become a crook? I mean, these are individual choices that for some reason, that frankly I don't think any of us really understand, people make these choices.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, investment bankers make a lot of money. Movie stars, Harvey Weinstein, God forbid, made a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So, is he equal with anybody? I hope not. We don't need another one of him. But, you know, the point is, if you get beyond the political slogans and you try to understand what really is inequality, you realize that it's a hideously complicated subject. And there aren't a lot of clear-cut, easy
answers. There aren't any easy answers.
And so, you know, I mean, And there are people that would benefit from a windfall amount of money that would either be given to them in a lump sum or over time. There are people who would benefit marvelously.
And then there are others that would spend it.
Yeah.
Recklessly.
And it would all be gone and wasted in no time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you account for that? I mean, there's something in human nature that makes every person different from everybody else.
And that's the beauty of our country, in that we have the variety of cultures and nationalities, which makes the country work as a democracy.
Yes, and you don't need the same thing in every
person. Oh, that would be boring.
Oh my God, it would be dangerous.
Ah.
Because you would have a bunch of automatons. Mm-hmm. If you want people to be identical, then make a bunch of robots.
Yep.
Don't pretend that you can have all your citizenry all be equal.
Oh, right? it's the beauty of humanity.
Well, it is, until somebody decides that they're going to make them all equal.
And that's, well, equal but different, to a degree.
Yeah. Anyway, this class we were teaching, we tried to be analytical, rational, and delve into some of these areas that, you know, most people would understand easily when you talk to them, but they don't think about them all the time. So I don't know if we educated anybody, but I hope we did.
But you opened minds to new ideas.
I think so.
And that's what education is.
Well, Bernie Sanders in particular is a demagogue, in my view. He doesn't open any minds. He just preaches a political agenda and essentially is offering freebies to most people. And, of course, that's a pretty easy thing to sell, because everybody wants something for nothing, right? And that bothered me. I thought he was doing a vast disservice to the country, because, one, he was treating it as if it was a simple subject, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And pretending that people could just continue to get something for nothing, which doesn't really work. And that it was going to be a hunky-dory political world. The Soviets, the Chinese, there's a history out there, and if you read about
history
that
history... repeats itself.
It's not a pretty history. Millions of people died in Stalinist Russia.
Is there anything that you'd like to add to TLC that we haven't covered? You've done a wonderful job.
Sign up. Come to class.
I have, and I will. Thank you.
Jesus. I don't usually talk much.